Let's begin our study of the Word of God together this morning, looking at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. These are very well-known verses to us. We read these words many times. We sing these words many times. But 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So he teaches us a lot about the love of God in those two verses. Where is love established? If we want to learn anything about love, where do we start? Well, we need to start from the source. Love is of God, and that is his very nature. God is love. Love is of him. That is the word that's given to summarize his nature and all the parts of it that he goes on to teach us about. So there's lots to learn about God's love. But to learn about love, we have to start there, from the source, from God. And we cannot know God if we do not keep his commandments and have his love in us, because that is his very nature. So we know these things about God's love as he's describing them there in those verses, 1 John 4, 7, and 8, which will be a good introduction for us today for our study, as we want to study some about the Father's love. But very often we might go immediately to a point of application that he gives in those verses, 1 John 4, 7, and 8, and that is for us to love one another. But where are we going to first learn how to love one another? What is that love? Well, we have to go to God, the source, don't we? We want to start this morning by looking at the Father's love, first as we see it expressed towards his Son, and then the Son and his love of the Father. Then that love is given from the Father and the Son towards us. And when we look at those aspects of the Father's love, we can learn about a lot about that love that we then need to have towards one another. The new commandment in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 is that we love one another as Christ has loved us. So how can we love one another if we don't start with that source of love, with God himself, to learn about his love? So let's consider first the Father's love of his Son. Now, did the Father love the Son, and does the Father love the Son? Of course he does. And when did that begin? Well, we could look at a lot of scriptures, and we plan to look at a few here in just a moment, that pertain to or describe the Father's love for Christ that he showed him when he was on this earth. But when did the Father first love the Son? Well, we have John chapter 17 and verse 24, John 17, 24. And in this prayer, Jesus said, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So did the Father begin to love the Son when he sent the Son to this world, or did he love him long before that? Well, it tells us that the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world. We can see, of course, the Son's love for the Father. We want to look at in a moment also. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, those first three verses describe how the Son was with the Father in the beginning, and the Father created all things by him. Well, how long has the Son loved the Father and been following his Father's will? I mean, this is something that is goes back before the foundation of the world, as we read there. So the Father loves the Son and has loved the Son. In John chapter 3, 34 through 36, John 3, 34 through 36, speaking of Christ, it says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." We're going to over and over again see the connection or application made in the description of God's love, even when he's talking about the love that the Father has for the Son what we're supposed to learn from that and how that is must be translated into our love for the Father and for Christ by doing the will of the Son and keeping His commandments, which, of course, that requires us to love one another. So all of that will flow first from our learning about this love of God that we have to practice ourselves. But we see that the Father has loved the Son. And what manifestation of His love, and what can we learn about the Father's love from what we read there in John 3:34-36? The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Now, one of the things that mentions is how He gave Him the Spirit without measure. That's one of the things the Father gave to the Son. But what did He not give to His Son? He's given all things into His hand, and that is a manifestation of the love that the Father has for His Son and all that He gave Him. We could exhaust the remainder of our time that we have designated for study for the rest of this hour in looking, and go much beyond that even, in looking at different examples of this or applications of this in all the things that the Son did while He was on this earth and serving His Father. How much did the Father give the Son through all of those things? How much was the Father with the Son through all of His temptations, providing Him everything that He needed in order to overcome the temptations? And we read about how after Christ endured those temptations in the wilderness, that the devil left Him for a season. Who was the one that was with the Son through all that to ensure that the Son, in His temptations, was provided everything that He needed from the Father to be able to bear those? Well, the Father gave Him all things that He needed. Of course, we also read about, even at the end of His life, when He was praying in the garden and He had those drops of sweat, as it were, blood and all of that that He was bearing up under during those temptations as He was facing His betrayal and all of those trials and the crucifixion, all those temptations that were coming upon Him there. And God sent angels to strengthen Him. So He gave Him the strength that He needed. He was with Him. And we know from Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that the Son was pouring out those prayers to Him with strong crying and tears for the Father to save Him from death, and was heard and that He feared. The Father heard all of those prayers. The Father was with Him through all of that, gave Him everything that He needed, gave Him everything that He needed to accomplish all of His will while He was on this earth. And I wish we had time to go through all of that. We just scratched the surface of mentioning a few things, but we see that principle in John 3 of the Father's love for His Son and giving all things into His hand. Ultimately, of course, after He fulfilled all His Father's will, and then the Father raised Him from the dead, and then gave Him all authority in heaven and in earth, that position that He occupies now, sitting at His right hand on His throne in heaven. So He's given Him that out of His love for Him, because of also the love that the Son had for the Father. But we can see that manifestation of the Father's love for His Son and giving Him all things that He needs, or that He needed and is with Him in all things. Well, do we learn to love each other in that way from the Father's love for His Son? If we have what can be given in any way, whether it's for physical needs or spiritual needs, if we have been given the ability or the opportunity to give to one another, to help each other in whatever it is, aren't we practicing and showing that love of the Father towards one another that we learn and we can see and practice from the Father's love of the Son? In John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5, we want to turn there and start in verse 16. Want to do a lengthy reading from this passage here, but it's trying to chop this one up is really difficult because of so much that pertains to this topic that's right here within this context that flows from verse 16. So We're going to read a bit of this now, Lord willing. But it says in verse 16, this is after Jesus healed a lame man on the Sabbath day there in Jerusalem. It says in verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Verse 19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So just pausing there for a moment, and here's another aspect of the Father's love for the Son as it's shown there. So the Father loved the Son, and as a manifestation of his love, he gave the Son all things. We saw that in John 3. Well, John 5 shows us, as the Father loved the Son, that he then showed him all things that he himself was doing. Is that a manifestation of love? If somebody loves someone, that they're going to hide things from them, that's not going along with what love is. And so the Father loved the Son, and so he showed the Son all things that he himself, all of his own works, and then was going to show him reveal those works to come. This goes right along with what we also read in John 15 when Jesus calls us his friends when we do whatsoever he has commanded us, which is, and we'll get to some more of those verses in John 15 in just a moment, Lord willing. But there he tells us that we're his friends when we do what he has commanded us to do. That's how we show that we're a friend of Christ. Well, do we consider ourselves to be a friend of Jesus? If we are, we have to do his will. But one of the ways in which Jesus identifies us as his friends when we do keep what his commandments is that he has revealed to us what he's doing. He says that that's what's the difference between a friend and a servant. The master doesn't necessarily tell his servant everything that he's doing, but his friend he does. And the Father loved the Son, and so he showed him all the things that he was doing. Now, when we're going to hide something from somebody, why do we do that? Well, maybe because we're ashamed of whatever we're going to do. We don't want anybody to know about what we're doing. Well, if that's the case, we shouldn't be doing that in the first place. So we ought not to do that. And then we don't have anything to hide then. If we're doing what's right all the time, should we hide those things from those we love? That's not the way God's love is practiced. We might have some other reasons for that. If we tell people what our plans are, then what happens sometimes? Well, we may have those that we love, and we tell them those things. They may have something to say to us. Maybe we haven't thought about some things, and maybe we get some feedback or we get some opinions. We might hide things from people because we don't want to hear anybody say anything to us about it. Is that really following along with the love of God? So those are some things for us to think about. We see that the Father loved the Son and therefore showed the Son what he was doing. And so verse 21, after saying that he was also going to show him greater works than these, he says that you may marvel. What's he talking about there? Well, let's read further. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So when the Father has shown him all the things that he was doing, and then was showing the things he was going to do, and things that were going to make men marvel, what does Jesus go on to talk about? Well, the resurrection. Of course, the Father was going to raise the Son after the Son's death, and then he was going to give the Son, through the Son was going to, and will ultimately, bring about the resurrection of all mankind, including us to that resurrection of life that he's describing there, if we honor him and love him and keep his commandments and do his will. So there's going to be that work that the Father was going to do, but he didn't hide that from the Son. He told the Son, here's what I'm going to do. And here's what you're going to do. Here's what I'm going to have you to do. So that was revealed to Christ. And in John 10, verses 17 and 18, we read a little bit more here about the resurrection. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So the Father was going to raise the Son, but he says, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. So why did the Father love him to raise up the Son? Well, did the Son love the Father? Was he going to keep his Father's commandments to the point of that death on the cross? He was going to do that, and did do that. Did the Father love the Son because of the Son's obedience to him? That is given as a main reason right there. And we have a lot of other scriptures that go along with that. Christ's humility and obedience, and how the Father loved the Son for that. So the Father loved the Son, and then the Son loved the Father, which pleased the Father, and the Father loved the Son for that also. So John 14, 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So he says, as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. So that's the manifestation of the Son's love for the Father. And did the Father love the Son because of that? Yes. John 15, 9 and 10. John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the Son loved the Father, as he just said in John 14, 31, and showed that by keeping his commandments. And then he was abiding in the Father's love because he kept the commandments. That's the same love that the Son has shown, that the Father showed to the Son, that the Son has shown to us. And as the Son showed love in return to his Father by keeping his commandments, what are we supposed to do with the love the Son has shown us? We need to keep his commandments. And so we learn all of this from this love of the Father, starting with this love of the Father of the Son, and then that of the Son towards the Father. Brother George read for us Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 before we took the unleavened bread this morning in the Lord's Supper, where it describes that humility of Christ, where he tells us to let that mind be in us that was in him. Philippians 2, 5 through 8, just to read again here very quickly. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, that's, again, the love that the Son had for the Father and showed that in keeping his commandments. We read John 5:30 a moment ago where he says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John 6:38, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And then John 8:28-29, Jesus said to them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that is sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He did always what pleased the Father, did nothing of himself, and did all of his Father's will, even to that point of dying on the cross. And so for that reason, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, after it says he was became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So did the Father love the Son for the Son's love of him and his obedience to his commandments? He did. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ his Son, should all fullness dwell." So that's the reason why it pleased the Father to do that. The Son honored the Father and glorified him in all that he did. So we need to honor and glorify the Son. And when we do that, and when the Son did nothing of himself, who are we honoring when we honor and glorify the one that the Father sent? Of course, that's how we also honor and glorify the Father. So we see that love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. And then that love is given from the Father and the Son to us. Now, there is a measure of love from the Father and the Son to all mankind. Now, concerning the Father, we all remember John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Well, is that a manifestation of the Father's love for mankind that he created in his image, that he gave his only begotten Son for all of us? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So yes, there's a love that the Father has for all mankind. 1 John chapter 4, we started our study this morning looking at verses 7 and 8. Well, let's look at 9 and 10. 1 John 4:9-10. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Well, who loved whom first? We know that God loved us first. And how does he show that he loved us? He gave his Son for us to be a propitiation for our sins. Did he do that when we were righteous and when we were godly and keeping his commandments? No, this is a love that he's shown for all of us, even when we were ungodly and wicked. Romans 5:6-8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So there we see the Father's love for us in giving us his Son. Now, we already read that the Son died for us out of his love for the Father to keep his commandments. So here's a question. Does that mean the Father sent the Son and the Son died for us because the Father loved us and sent him? The Son's obedience to that was his love for the Father. Well, all that's true. So did the Son die for us because he loved the Father or because he loved us? Now, we know the Father loved us in sending his Son. Now, what about Christ himself? Did he die for us only because that's what his Father commanded him to do and he loved his Father and did that? Well, he did love his Father and did obey his commandment because that's what his Father told him to do and sent him to do. But does the Son love us too? Well, the Son, he said, we read that a moment ago in John 15:9-10, the love that the Father loved the Son with, the Son has loved us with. So if the Father loved us to give us his own Son, did the Son not love us also with his love? And he did. And we're told that, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Is it only the love of the Father, or is it also of the Son himself? For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So does it have to be a choice that the Son died for us either because he loved the Father or because he loved us? Or was it both? It was both. And now again, he says that love that the Son had for us, that he died for all of us when we were ungodly, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that gives us an obligation, a duty, which is what it means when he says it constrains us. We're duty-bound to do something because of the love that he had for us when he died for us when we were dead in our sins, when we had no hope in that condition. We were estranged, separated from God by our wicked works. Well, he died to save us from that. And so he says that we are constrained. He says that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So once more, that love that we see from the Father and from the Son needs to be translated into our own actions in return, that we love God who loved us first, and then show that by living for the one who loved us so much that he died for us when we were dead. He gave his life for us. We owe him our lives, that we don't do anything of ourselves, but our entire lives are given and is spent in service to him who died for us when we had no other way to be saved. Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me? Does it say that Christ gave himself for us out of his love for us? It says that again there. But it also shows us once more that same connection that was made in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 is made there in Galatians 2:20. We see the love that Christ had for us, that he died for us, that he gave himself for us out of his love for us. What is our obligation in return? That we be crucified with him. That the only life we have is him living in us. And if we love him in return, that's what we're going to do. Now, the love that the Father and the Son had for us, that the Father sent the Son to die for us, and that the Son did give himself and died for us, by itself, without anything else, if we don't respond to what we have been constrained to do by that love, to then love God in return and keep his commandments, are we going to be saved? If his love is not reciprocated, if we don't love him back and show that by obeying him, are we going to be saved? Well, no is the answer to that, because otherwise there would be universal salvation, because God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ died for all. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, are we saved by grace? Yes, we are. Ephesians 2, verse 8, are we saved by grace only? No, we're not. We're saved by grace through faith. Again, says Ephesians 2, 8. Well, here we can see why. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, if God didn't have his love and favor towards mankind to give his Son to die for us when we were ungodly, then what hope would any of us have? I mean, there would be no way of salvation for any of us. But he showed that grace and love for us to give his Son then for everybody. Well, if that's all there is to it, then everybody's saved, but that's not the case. That same grace of God that brings salvation, that has appeared to all men, also teaches us. So God's grace is in the role of the teacher in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Well, the Son's love for us in dying for us, was that only because he loved the Father? Well, again, no, he loved us. And there was a motive to that love that he had toward us. Did the Son and does the Son intend for us to respond to the love he's shown us and that constrains us that we would live for him? Yes, and so that's why it says that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Well, then that tells us right there that there's no universal salvation. We're taught to respond to his grace and love in this way, to live our lives in this way. Does everybody do that? Of course they don't. Only a few do. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he gave his Son to the world for the propitiation of our sins. But who is going to respond to that love and love him in return? Well, sadly, not many. In Luke chapter 13, verses 23 and 24, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Few are going to be saved, according to what Jesus says there in his own words there. As he also did in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, which of those many that are on the broad road that leads to destruction, how many of them did the Father love and did the Son love? All of them. And here's a wide road full of people that the Father loves and the Son loves. And on that broad road, even with that love, where are they going to end up for their eternity? In that lake of fire. Because they did not respond to that love of God and love the Father back and love the Son in return and then keep his commandments. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He plainly tells us there are only a few that will do that. Only a few, though we are all constrained by his love to live for him and not for ourselves anymore. How many do it? We remember the 10 lepers that were healed by Christ and they went away. How many returned and thanked him for their healing? Just one of the 10, and that was a Samaritan. And none of the Israelites that were healed of their leprosy came back to give thanks. They were sent away to the priest to obey the commandment that they had in the law of Moses, but they didn't come back to thank Christ for what he had done for them in healing them of their leprosy. Was that a small thing in that time? Well before antibiotics or any treatment for that. I mean, if you had leprosy, that was a lifelong sentence with that disease. And it ate away the flesh. It was a terrible thing. Only one came back to thank him, and that one was not even an Israelite. So how often do men show a utter lack of thankfulness to God for his love and the things he's done for us? And if that's how we are with the sacrifice of Christ, we're not going to be saved. We have to respond to that love. We have to love him. And we have to keep his commandments. We are commanded to do that. We know John 14 and verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We must do that. Now, is there a difference between the love that the Father has for the world and the love that he has for his children, those who do love him and keep his commandments? And the answer to that is also yes. 1 John 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. See the distinction between God's children and the world. The world who doesn't know God, they don't know God, they will not keep his commandments. But if we keep his commandments, we know him. In fact, what's the very definition of knowing him, isn't it? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So what did Jesus say in John 8, 54 and 55? He said, if I say that I don't know my Father, he says, then I'm a liar like unto you. The Son did know the Father, and he showed that by keeping his commandments. Now, if we say we know God and we're not keeping his commandments, we're a liar too. But the only way to be telling the truth then is either say, well, we're not keeping his commandments, just to go ahead and say we don't know him. That's not a good way to be telling the truth there. But if that is the truth, we need to fix it. But the way we need to be telling the truth is to say, I know him, and be showing that by keeping his commandments. The world doesn't know him. But he says, behold that love, that manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, that we can be called his children, that he calls us his Father. And that is only for those who do obey his commandments. So there is that love that the Father has for his children that is a love that surpasses that love that he has for us in the first place as being his creation by which he gave his Son to die for us. John chapter 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So to be his children, do we have to do anything? Well, here he says we have to receive him in the context that we have to receive him as our maker and owner. But we have to do something there. We have to take action and in order to be his child. Well, Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, but you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Can we be children of God without faith? We can't. Is that if it's faith only, is that going to save us? It won't. That has to be demonstrated by our obedience to his commandments. And to become his child, that includes that commandment to be baptized into Christ. Question is, do we love God? Do we love Jesus? Now, how many people say, I love Jesus? People wear it on their hats. They got it on their shirts. They got it on their bumper stickers. We see it all over the place. And people say that they love Jesus. Do we? Do we love God? Do we love Christ? John 14, 15 says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He also asked the question in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If we call him our Lord and we say we love him, if we're not doing what he says, are we telling the truth? If we really love him, we're going to keep his commandments. That's his definition there. John 14, 21 through 24, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, not Iscariot, or Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And he will come unto you and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Do we want the Father to love us as his child to save us? Well, we have to keep his commandments. And he says if we do, then he's going to love us and make his abode with us. John chapter 16 and verse 27, he says, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. That's how we're going to have the Father's love as our Father. We'll close in John 17, 20 through 26, these words of Christ and that prayer that's recorded in John 17, verses 20 through 26. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. We need to know that love of the Father. And we need to know that and abide in his love by keeping his commandments and then love one another with that same love. And he tells us if we keep his commandments that his love will be perfected in us. 1 John 2 and verse 5. And he says if we love one another, his love will be perfected in us. 1 John 4 and verse 12. Those we must do, keep his commandments and love one another, which of course is the new commandment that Christ has given, in order for his love to be perfected in us, which is what his goal is and purpose is for all of us. We need to learn that love of the Father and ultimately to show that love to him and to one another. If you have not yet become his child, we've already been looking at several scriptures about that in these closing minutes of our study this morning. We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We read in Galatians 3, verse 26, and then verse 27 followed as part of the same sentence. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's the definition he gives of believing in Christ there in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, that we would obey his gospel, including being immersed in water, that which is for the remission of sins, and also in how we put on Christ, which is also how we have our name written in heaven and have hope of eternal life. If you have not yet done that this morning, we're encouraging you to do that now so you can become his child. That is the manner of love that the Father has for us, that we can be his children and he will call us his children if we will love him and keep those commandments that he's given to us. This is an opportunity for you to begin to do that now. Or if you are a child of God, if you've not been keeping his commandments as you should, if you need to return to him and show that you do love him, then this is an opportunity for you to make things right with him this morning. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so. Come now while we stand together and sing.